My dad, Pastor Salem, dearly loved comforting people all over the world through God's Word. Today, my dad's message titled, When Peter Walked on Water, reminds us to rest, lean, and rely on the Lord's leadership and guidance. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And every week, we just rejoice because we can come to see you and visit with you wherever you might be. And maybe some of you live in condominiums, maybe in homes, maybe you live in a tent somewhere. We just don't know, but we don't have to know. We just can worship the Lord together, and all of us can just center on Jesus Christ. So it draws all of the people of God together, and we worship the Lord Jesus together. And so we're going to be talking about Peter walking on the water. Don't you love that story? But first, let me read some of the letters we get. Here's a letter from Billings, Montana. My name is Sarah, and I'm currently serving 3 life sentences for homicide. I was raised a Christian, but backslid very bad. I was involved with drugs and gang life. About 3 months ago, I found God again. I study my Bible every day now. God has laid it on my heart to use my story for a testimony, that no matter what you have done in your life, God will never give up on you, and he will always forgive you. And that is exactly right. That's the gospel. And then she goes on, all we have to do is ask. I may be behind bars, but I feel more free now than when I was out. God is good all the time. Thank you for your ministry. Your outreach is in my prayers in Christ Jesus. Now, here's a lady, and she says 2 things I underlined. She said, first of all, God will never give up on you. He will always forgive you. And I don't care what your sin is. And you say, I can't imagine how God can forgive that. Well, I'll tell you how he can forgive that. Because Jesus Christ, his son, went to the old rugged cross and he shed his blood and he paid for all of the sins of the world, the whole wide wicked world. But it won't do you a bit of good unless you ask him into your heart, call upon his name. And this is what this lady did. And then look at what she said. I feel more free than when I was out. And you know, there are a lot of people out in the world, they're not free at all. They're a slave of some habit or something, or they're a slave of jealousy or envy or pride or anger. Who knows? They're just slaves to these things. But she can be in prison and know that her sins are forgiven and she has perfect liberty and freedom. Oh, that's a great, great story, a great lesson. Here's Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. This donation is from my mother in Winnipeg, Manitoba. She is 93 years old, almost blind from macular degeneration and hard of hearing. She listens to your program each Sunday with headsets. And so isn't that wonderful? Here she is. She has headsets and she can worship with us. And so we're preaching. And what are we preaching? Oh, we're preaching salvation in Jesus Christ and so many wonderful promises. And then God says to Isaiah, comfort ye my people. And he knows that some of his people are going through hard times. And so he says, you're to preach so that you can comfort them. Well, how can I preach to comfort you? I can preach the word of God, the promises of God. I can give comfort to all over the world because the Holy Spirit takes this and he takes it to people all over the world and he applies it to their heart. And to those old saints of God, those people in the persecuted church, he'll comfort them because it's the word of God and the spirit of God. I don't have a thing to do. A parent could do what I'm doing. But he takes that word of God and spreads it all over the world. Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful. Let me see. Trenton, Missouri. I just finished watching your program on TV. Really enjoyed your preaching. It reminds me of the hell, fire, damnation preaching that I sat and listened to when I was growing up in a little free Methodist church in a small town. Keep up the good works. I'm 82 years old. Lost my husband a year and a half ago. He loved your service. Well, you know what? Why were they preaching fire, damnation, hell, fire, and damnation? Because Jesus preached that. And he told about the place there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus was doing it because he loved us. And that's what they preach, and that's what I preach. And I love Jesus, and I love you. But what kind of a pastor am I if I don't warn you of the terrible hereafter of the unsaved? If you reject Jesus Christ, I have to tell you there is a hell, and you have to be in that hell. And I'm going to tell you something else. You decide where you're going to be. You decide if you're going to be in heaven or hell. It's all up to you. Your wife can't do it for you. Your wife, husband can't. Your children can't. Your parents can't. No, it's up to you. And then Jesus says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Wrath of God abideth on him. So do you have Jesus? As many as received him, you ask him into your heart, and he'll come into your heart, and you're saved. You make the choice. And then one other letter, Denver, Colorado. I ask God to forgive my sins. I know Jesus died on the cross for me, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and save me. Lord Jesus, use me for your service. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful letter? And so you just open your heart. That's what we're going to be preaching about the whole service today. Come to Jesus. But our story is a background story of this is Peter, and he and the disciples have to cross over. And they cross over the sea. Now, Jesus has been teaching, and he's been preaching, and there's multitudes of people. And then he tells the multitudes, now the service is over, you need to go home. And he tells the disciples that he wants them to get in the boat and go over on the other side of the lake. And then we read in the 23rd verse, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. So there you are. He sends the multitudes home. He tells the disciples to cross over, and then he goes to pray. And if Jesus had to pray, brother and sister, we need to pray. We need to pray plenty and pray into the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have this prayer, and then we read about them. They started out on their trip. And then we're told, they said, when the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And so now there's a windstorm coming up. And they're in a tempest, and they're afraid. And remember, these are all fishermen. Most all of them are fishermen, and they can't handle the sea. And they lived on the sea. And so then they don't know what they're going to do. And then think the story before us gives us the answer to this. What are you going to do when your ship is in the middle of a storm? When you're in the storms of life, and they're going to be all about us. Because Jesus says, in this world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In John 16:33. And so he's telling us, don't be afraid, but just trust in Jesus. Lean on Jesus. And then we recorded that Matthew begins with these words. He's going to tell a story. He says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Go before him unto the other side. And he sent the multitudes away. John 14:22. And then he says he constrained them. They didn't want to do it, but Jesus insisted, and they went, and they had to do it. And then in the 25th verse, looks what happened. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And they're because they're in the middle of this storm, they think they're going to sink. And the fourth watch of the night meant that they'd been toiling for about 9 hours, and they'd gone about 3.5 miles. They were men of the sea having a problem with the sea, and they were having a really, really problems with the sea. And so then we read, and then the disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. So here they are. They're struggling out to get into this storm. They think they're going to go under. They think Jesus is out there on the mountain praying, and all of a sudden they see something walking on the water, and they think that it's a ghost. They think that it's a spirit, some kind of an apparition, and they don't know what it is. And they were scared, and they cried out for fear. They were afraid of the storm. Now they're afraid of this thing with walking on the water. It's about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. The night is dark, and the waves are wild, and yet he's walking in such a way that they can see him walking on the waves in the storm. And they thought it to be a spirit. And then we read in verse 27, and straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Jesus, he didn't let them worry very long. And you know, Jesus is always saying that, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. I'm with you here, I'm with you. And maybe you're having some fears today and you're fearful of your health, or you're fearful, you young people are fearful of what your grades you're gonna get, or what are you gonna go and do in life, or who you're gonna marry, and all of these other things. And don't be afraid, just trust in Jesus, lean on Jesus. And then in verse 27, and straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And then Jesus is doing that, and then Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Peter, he says, I want to just be with Jesus. I want to walk with him. Lord, if you could give me permission so I could walk on water too and be with you. And they think it's, well, some people say it's that's presumptuous. Not at all. Jesus knew Peter's heart. Jesus knew Peter wanted to be with him. And this is what happened in the verse 29 and 30. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And so that Peter, he steps out and he's walking on the water, and he's walked some distance. He is so close that Jesus took him by the hand. He's that close. He walked some distance on that water. And he knew he could do it because God was making it possible for him. And then he begins to sink, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And he saved him. And then we read, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and another miracle took place. Jesus is master of the sea, for he walks on it. He's master of the wind because he stops it. The wind stops when Jesus speaks. And then they were in the ship, came and worshiped him. Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. What a wonderful story. From this story, I want to take three lessons. The first one is, there are going to be storms in this life. I've always often wondered and wished when I see the little children, and I see them and I say, oh God, wouldn't it be nice if they wouldn't have any troubles and if they wouldn't have any trials? But even some of the little children are having troubles and trials. Mom and dad are splitting up and the little hearts are broken, and they have their trials too, poor little things. But these storms are with us, and there are storms all over the world, and they are going to be here until Jesus comes and rules and reigns during the millennial kingdom that he's going to set up. Jesus told there would be storms. He lived through them. He lived in Gethsemane, on Calvary. Jesus warned him. He said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good courage. And Peter also warns us, clear as day, and he says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to test you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you're partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 12 and 13. Now let me tell you something, my friends. If you're going through some storms today, it may be that God is punishing you for some of your sins, of our sins, but or we're out of God's will, and he's bringing us back. These disciples were in a fierce storm, but listen to this. They were in the perfect will of God. God, Jesus sent them. They didn't want to go. He sent them. He sent them, and they went out, and they were in that storm. And so these troubles and trials come upon us. It doesn't necessarily mean you've been drifted away from the Lord. It doesn't mean that you're backslidden. It doesn't necessarily mean he wants to teach you something or hurt you in some way. And now when we come to forgiving sins, you know, Jesus doesn't play double jeopardy. When he forgives our sins, they're forgiven forever, and he never punishes for our sins. Now, the results of our sins. I had a man one time. He was a chain smoker, and he died from lung cancer. And his children were mad at God because their dad was in, I don't know, 40s or 50s or something like that. And they were mad at God. And he was dying because he killed himself. It was his own doings. The results of our sin, we're going to have to live with. But the sins themselves are gone. Maybe you heard some people's liver or something like that, and you can't come back. But when was some of these storms, when we come into these storms, we're in the perfect will of God. You know, there's a book in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the Great Faith Chapter. And it talks about the great men of all the Bible, men and women of all the Bible, who are wonderful, strong Christian examples of the Christian faith. Now, let me read about what it says about them. It says in the 11th chapter, the heroes of the faith, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Here it is, people walking in the will of God, and they're in the middle of the storm. So don't you say that, well, they start judging people. You don't know a thing about it. You're not to judge. And so this wonderful Jesus, he's with them and walking with them. So the storm is going to come. And when it comes, well, you don't know what it'll be like, and we don't know which way it'll turn. We can't evade it. We can't get around it. We can't dodge it. We can't manage it. It's there, the storms of life. And when we come to the storms of life, just remember, the storms of life are going to be there. But then remember, secondly, that Jesus is with us in the storms. He's always with us. The disciples had been sent to cross the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had stayed behind, and they thought that he was out there on the mountain, and they felt that they were alone, and they felt that Jesus didn't know of what they were up against. And lo and behold, they're worrying about Jesus. They don't think he's with them, maybe 5 miles or more than that, maybe. And lo and behold, there he is. He's walking on the water. He's been there all the time. Well, they didn't see him. They didn't hear him. They didn't hear a word, but he was there, you see? Have you ever felt like God didn't hear your prayers? We get letters from people, and they say, I'm praying and no answer. God didn't know it. That maybe God didn't know it, or worse yet, God didn't care. And so you're in your troubles and trials, and God doesn't even know you exist. Well, if you could just see it, he's right by your side, and the angels are there to guard over you and to help you. But Jesus is with us, and he was never very far away from these people in the boat, his disciples. And though they didn't know it, and they didn't understand it, they couldn't see it, and yet that dear Jesus was there. So the next time you wonder if God is hearing your voice, of course he hears your voice. Maybe he's saying no to your prayers. Maybe he's saying wait to your prayers. Maybe he's saying I have a better plan. Maybe he's saying your prayers won't work in my will. And we always pray thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we would like this, but if God, if it isn't in your will, I don't want it. And so he does hear. You may not feel him. You may not hear him. But bless his name. He's there. Remember the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were cast into that furnace. And all of a sudden they looked in and there weren't three. There were four. And that was the pre-incarnate form of Jesus Christ. And he was with them in the furnace. And this is a God is there. And he's not forgotten you. In the fire or in the storm or whatever it is, Jesus is never very far away. He never slumbers or sleeps. His eye is always open upon you. His arm is around you. His heart beats for you. He have a wonderful God. That wonderful thing about it is he never abandons us. He never forsakes us. And there have been times in my life when he should have forsaken me because I was out of his will and I didn't live like I should have. But he never forsook me or left me. He keeps this promise so long ago by the prophet Isaiah. And God is saying, don't be afraid. I've ransomed you. I've called you by my name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. Oh, no. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will be. The flames will never consume you. Jesus, remember, is with us, close with us. But you have to know Jesus, and you have to have Jesus, the wonderful Jesus, in your heart. Now, I read a cute little story the other day. Judy Zimbrold of Edina, Minnesota, tells about little Katie. Katie is her 3-year-old daughter, and was taken to the pediatrician during a recent bout with the flu. And so when the doctor examined her ears, he says, "Will I find Big Bird in here?" And apprehensive little Katie didn't know, and she says, "Well, no." And then he examined her throat, and he said, "Will I find the Cookie Monster in here?" And again, little Katie, "Oh, no, I don't know." And then listening to her heart, he asked, "Will I hear Barney in here?" Whereupon she indignantly looked the doctor in the eye, says, "No, Jesus is in my heart. Barney's on my underwear." Well, that's a lesson for us all. Be like little Katie. Jesus Christ is dwelling in your heart. He's living in your heart. Lean on him and trust him. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, pray right now and say, "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow the best I can. And thank you, Jesus." Just do that. And then the third thing is, Jesus is the only help in time of storm. He's the only help. These storms are too big for us. They're too fierce. We cannot stand up and beat them alone. The devil is too strong. Even Gabriel, when they fought over the body of Moses, Gabriel could not withstand with the devil, and he called upon the help of the Lord Jesus. And so their battles are too complex, they're too involved. So don't try to put out the fire of the storm alone. You cannot do it. And just look to the Lord Jesus. That, you see, Peter, Jesus could keep Peter from the waters, but he had to believe. He could walk on the waters. He could get through the storm. He could get through it all, but he had to believe. He had to have faith. And listen to the record. "And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he said, 'God save me, Christ save me.'" When he started to look around at the circumstances of life, and he saw the waves, and he saw the wind, and he became afraid. And if you keep your eyes on Jesus, and you just seek to please him, and you just read his word, and we can center on Jesus, you can go through any storm, any trial, any sorrow, anything you have to face, you can be victorious. You know, in the days of the sailing vessels, when they had that crow's nest, it was way high up on a pole, and they had a rope ladder, and to climb that ladder was a trick in itself. And then when they would tell about it, when a new young man would have to climb that, the old workers would say, "Look up, keep looking up, because if he looks down, he'll see the waves, he'll see the ship moving, and he'll become dizzy in his fall." So keep your eyes looking up. Keep looking up to Jesus, this wonderful Jesus. And the next time you wonder why these hard things of life come into your heart and into your life, you just say, "Oh, dear Jesus, I'm looking to you. I'm trusting in you." And you will always be there. Though you may not see him, you may not feel him, you may not understand him, but you have his word. And his word is that if you trust him and keep your eyes on him, you can walk on the water, so to speak. So put your faith in Jesus. Take heart, move on, and shine for the Lord Jesus. Now, if you've accepted Jesus, you want to accept Jesus, and you want literature, you can get us on our ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can get information, or you can write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I might just say also that we need to have your help to carry on this work. We have to pay our way just like anybody else. And so when you send a gift, we use it entirely for the ministry of the gospel. And we know that because we're a member of the international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books. And when they audit our books, they check everything we take in and every penny we spend. And they watch us like a hawk, and that's the way we want it. And so when you send that gift, We'll be glad to use it in the furtherance of the gospel. And also, if you like a little Bible study, you can get us on the Christian Worship Hour. Let's keep it on there, on the Christian Worship Hour. And when we have this little Bible study, and this month it's going to be about love, the month of February about love. And so just write to us, and if you can help us financially, you do that, because we need your help to carry on this wonderful work of people coming to the Lord. Now we're going to pray. And in that prayer, we're going to pray for our people that are being persecuted, the persecuted church. We're going to pray for that in Sri Lanka. And so maybe some of them are listening into this program. And now this is their Sunday, and the whole world is praying for Sri Lanka. And that's what we're going to do. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your wonderful love and mercy. And we just pray that you'll help these people, to give them strength and courage to carry on and never give up, and to just be sure that they have their, put their faith in you. Pray for those who are on sick beds, Lord. We pray for those who are lonely. Pray for those who are aged. Pray for the young people. Some of them don't know how decisions to make. Pray for those in prisons. Lord, may this gospel go to the ends of the earth, and may it bless people as they put their faith in you. And like you've promised us, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Lord, we thank you for that promise. And so we pray that many, many will come to a saving knowledge, and that they'll grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so now we're going to leave you, and we're going to praying that you're going to have a good week. And you pray for us, because we have a lot of work to do, and we try to answer all of our letters. We try to help people every way we can. And so it be open to the Spirit of the Lord. And in the meantime, be sure that you go to church. You find a church where they're preaching the gospel. See if they believe the Bible is the Word of God. That's a good test. And then you get there and go to help them and to worship with them and to help them. And then another thing you can do to help us is to pray for us, and then to tell others to tune us in. And if everybody would talk to somebody, we would double our congregation overnight. So God bless you, dear friends. We're thinking about you, praying for you. God loves you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. And someday we'll see you face to face. And won't that be something? Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.